great in the eyes of the Lord. Noah's name actually means rest, and his father was hoping that when he was born, that this child would give rest and be a different kind of a person than from all those who were living around him, who were living ungodly, unholy lives. He was hoping that his son would be different in the fact that he would have a heart for God and a desire for God and want to live a life for God. They always say that the Christian life is a marathon and not a sprint. Many people, when they come to Christ, are excited and they express it in different ways. Some people have a joyful enthusiasm and they bubble over with the excitement of having found that there is forgiveness for sins, and that's an amazing thing. They are recipients of the grace of God, and that's a wonderful thing, and they just want to share and tell and let everybody know what God has done for them. And then you let them be in church for a while and they hang around us, and that sort of dies down. You know, they say, all right, it don't take all that, calm down. And sometimes they do. And the reason why I say that it's not a sprint is, if you watch the Olympics, these people have spent years preparing to run a short amount of time. And they focused and they concentrated and they got in their starting blocks and took their position and the gun went off and they took off. And within seconds, it was all over. And they were done. In the Christian life, it's not all over in a couple of seconds. There's the rest of today, there's all of tomorrow, and then there's this week. There's the rest of this month, the rest of the year, and on and on and on. And the question is, it's not how we start the race, it's how we finish the race. In the Christian journey, the question is, as the road becomes long and the years go by, how do we manage to keep on keeping on? How do we manage to keep doing what God wants us to do and being the people that God wants us to do? And how do we keep ourselves from being sidetracked? Our text today is once again found in Genesis chapter 6, and we will be picking up where we left off as we introduced this thought last week. The main body of the text went from verse 9 to verse 22, which is the end of the chapter. But today, we are going to pick up basically where we stopped last week, and we're going to start at verse number 14 and read to the end of the chapter. Genesis chapter 6, verse 14 reads as follows. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower and second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing in the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And thou shalt take unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. When we brought this thought last week, our thought was an act of faith. We find that Jehovah God has revealed some very important information to his chosen servant, his man of the hour, Noah. He says, I'm going to destroy the world and everything in it. Everything? Everything. But you know, I am going to give people a chance, and I do have a plan to save those who are willing to listen. And the plan involves you, because here's what I want you to do. I want you to build something that's never existed before. I'm going to give you instructions. I'm going to give you the list of materials, and it's called an ark. I'm not really sure what Noah did for a living before God came up to him on this day and said, I want you to build an ark.
Right.
What's an ark? Well, if you listen, I'll tell you what it is and what we're going to do with it. But I do find that he now has a new skill set because he's going to become a carpenter. He's going to become a shipbuilder. In fact, he's the first one that we know of in recorded history because he's the first person the Bible ever mentions that built anything like this. And we find that it was a big challenge. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us again of who Noah was and who he represents and the ark that he built and what it was and what it did and also what it represents. And we pray, Father, that as we spend a few minutes in your word, that you would open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law, to the end that you are glorified, your people are edified, and your will is satisfied. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I asked you before this question, how do we manage to keep on keeping on? How is it we manage to have a consistent walk with God? Because you notice that when it describes Noah, when it says, first of all, that he found grace, he was found to be different from everybody else that was living in the world at that time. He was, first of all, a just man. He was perfect in his generation. And lastly, he walked with God. Well, the answer to the question of how do we keep on keeping on is in our relationship to God. And the way we do that, the way we keep on going in our Christian life is the same way that Noah kept on going in his life. He walked with God. Now, the word walk has to do with the idea of relationship and lifestyle. He was leading a life that focused on God. There are three things I want you to think about when you think about Noah. First of all, how was he able to keep on keeping on, and how was he to continue to do this act of faith on a consistent basis? First of all, he listened to God, and he did exactly what he was told. He had the right perception of what he was told. He clearly had it in his mind. The second thing is, he was faithful to what God had said, and there was a price for being faithful. There's a price for being obedient. There's a cost involved. There are sacrifices that are involved when you choose to be obedient. Just like when you choose to be disobedient, there's also a price to be paid for that. So he not only had the right perception, he had the right persistence because he continued to do what God had told him to do every day. The third thing was, he realized that he was the recipient of God's grace. All that he had, all that he ever hoped to be, was the result of the fact that he had found favor with God. So he had the right perspective. He had the right perception of what God had said. He had the right persistence in doing what God had told him to do, and he had the right perspective in that he realized where he stood with God. If you and I put those three things into our lives, we will find that that is the key to being able to keep on keeping on and to be able to walk with God in a consistent manner. It has to do with the idea that when we wake up, we are impressed with God. You find through the Bible, there are story after story of people who had a word from the Lord. The children of Israel were sent messengers called prophets by God, and they brought a word from the Lord. And they always started out by saying, thus saith the Lord. You find that, as we found in our Sunday school lesson a week or so ago, that when the people met with God, and God, through Moses, told them what he wanted them to do, they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do. Now, it's been described that even from the beginning of the book of Genesis that there's two kinds of people walking on the face of the earth. Now, the one thing they both do, but the second thing only one of them chooses to do, and the first thing that they all do is they heard what God said. They all knew what God said. There was no misunderstanding. The second thing is, are they going to do what God says? And that's where that thing that God gave us takes on a life of its own, called free will. Why is it some of us choose to believe God to the point that we're motivated to do what he said? Walking with God. The prophet Amos said, he asked this question, he said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? When you and I go to work or to school, we have to recognize authority. We have to agree that there's a way things are to be done, there are rules to be followed, there is a way to behave, there is a way to act as we go through the day, whether we're the student or the employee. And some of these things are designed for our safety, some of them are designed so that we can get along well with others, but the object is there's a goal in mind, and you have to recognize authority. If someone doesn't recognize authority, there's a problem. When there's a problem, they usually call somebody that represents authority to deal with people that don't like authority. And that's somewhere that carries the badge and carries the gun and has the authority to enforce the law. And if you decide you don't want to comply, oh, they have several ways of bringing you around, changing your mind. I never liked to use those things, and I would do anything I could not to. I would usually try to talk people into things, talk them out of things, shame them, embarrass them, make sure that they understood why they were wrong, because I would often say, my first encounter with someone is when I saw them doing something they were not supposed to be doing. I already knew the answer to the question, but I just sort of approached it, sort of a question-answer kind of scenario. What are you doing? You talking to me? I'm talking to you. What are you doing? And then you waited to see if when they would start lying, which is usually about when they started answering the question. I said, really? I said, do you think I came over here just to shoot the time of day with you because I got nothing else to do? No. Do you think I don't know what you were doing before I came over here? Do you? I said, oh, yeah. I don't ask questions I don't know the answers to when I deal with people. I already know what you were doing. I just want to see if you're going to tell me the truth. Now, the question is what are we going to do about that? Because, see, you're doing something you're not supposed to do. Now, we can handle this two ways. I can give you a ticket. I can make you spend money. I can take you into court and, you know, touch you where it hurts in your wallet. Or we can have a little talk. So which do you want? Do you want the lecture or do you want the ticket? And one time I was sitting in the class and I answered the question and I told him that, and the chief was sitting next to me and said, well, when did we start doing it that way? I said, it's officer's discretion whether I want to ticket people or not. I said, I've got no big idea to be writing everything out. I'll see you in court. I said, you know, I called it a teachable moment, educational moment. And I had many people after I got done, I said, now here's what's going to happen. We're going to talk and we're going to communicate. And what's going to happen is I want to make sure that you know that I know that you know that I know that you understood what I said and that there's no mud in the room. It's crystal clear and that you will never do this again. That's what we're aiming for. And I want you to be able to repeat back to me what I said to you, and I know that you got it because you can say it clearly and it's in there. And I've got people today who said, I remember you. I said, really? Why? I was, and I said, oh yeah, I remember that. And obviously they do too, so I said, it worked. And I always tell people, I said, now, just so you know, this is the pleasant, nice visit. Now, if I come back, because obviously you don't believe me, we will impress it upon you very strongly in ways that's going to be painful. So, just so you know, some people believe me, some people didn't. But my point is, you have to respect authority. And in order to have a relationship with somebody, you got to be able to know how this thing is supposed to work and who's supposed to do what and who's listening to who. We've got people who have been married for 60-some years, 50-some years. And how's that possible? Because they agree on how they're going to get along. They agree on how they're going to live their lives. They agree on how they're going to communicate. They've obviously been able to communicate clearly, and they've got good communication because they're still listening to one another. I'm sick of listening to you and all the stuff you're putting down, and I just don't want... No, obviously they're still listening, so obviously the communication's working pretty good. So you gotta have good communication, and all those things that are true about relationships, whether it's an employer, or whether it's a teacher and a student, or it's in a family, you gotta understand authority and communication, and all those things are also true about God. When you walk with God, you gotta understand His authority and who He is in your life. Pretty explicit instruction. You're gonna make it out of gopher wood. Some say it was a type of cypress. And the dimensions of this is it's going to be measured in cubits. And of course he said, what's a cubit? Of course, you know, no one had ever seen a cubit before. And he said, well, a cubit, according to some measures, is 18 inches long. So it's a foot and a half. So the dimensions of this boat was 450 feet from stem to stern, and from port to starboard side, it was 75 feet across. And the dimensions of the height, it had three decks of 15 feet each because it was 45 feet high. There was a big door on the side of it which dropped down and kind of made a ramp. And there were three levels inside in which to put all the animals that were in the world at that time. Of course, the one animal they didn't have to worry about would be such things as fish, because fish can swim in water. So if there's plenty of water, you don't have to worry about the fish or the alligators or anything else that's out there swimming around. So they were going to put birds in there, they were going to put insects, they were going to put reptiles, they were going to put, you know, the birds and the bees and the elephants and all that kind of stuff. That's what they were going to put in there. Some say they might even have put the young versions of, you know, instead of putting a big full-grown elephant, just take a baby elephant. Doesn't eat as much, doesn't take as much room, so stick the baby in there. That'll work. You know, we don't need the big ones, just bring us the little one. And of course, you save room. But they were given, he was given explicit instructions. And it doesn't say in here that, well, every day Noah and the boys went out to work on the ark. It says Noah was told, you go out and build the ark. In our lives, God says to us, wherever He's called us, whatever He's told us to be, an act of faith in your life is you believe what I've said. As a husband, Charlie, as a wife, Libby, as grandparents, Mary Ellen and your husband, there are certain things, as you're imprinting on your family, that you are to do. There are certain ways that you're supposed to behave. We have a book called The B-I-B-L-E, and it's full of wisdom and instruction on how to get along with each other, and how to act in the home, and how to act on the job, and how to act with our friends. It tells us how to treat our enemies. It tells us how to get along in society. That's all in here. And if we know what it says, and we do what it says on a consistent basis, because we know it's true, it works, we believe it, so we're going to keep on doing it. And it's all done because we have faith in the one that told us to do it, that it's going to be what's best for us. The problem is why it's an act of faith, is we live in a world that says, what are you talking about? You're going where on Sunday? You're going to church. Why? What are you guys doing down there? You're down there praying to a God you can't see. You're down there worshiping a God that you've never seen. What are you doing all that for? Why? And you say that he's done things for you, and there's an empty cross and an empty tomb, and you got this book called the Bible that tells about His Son who gave His life for everybody and died for the sins of the world. You really believe all that stuff? I was reading in the Daily Bread a story about a little boy who asked his dad, Dad, why do the clouds float? You know, you look up, they're going to be floating to the sky. So he's going to give the scientific answer, well, you know, it's atmospheric pressure, and you've got condensation of the water going up, and you've got the vapor condensing and forming the cloud, and blah, 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 blah. And he realized that, you know, because God created them, and they declared His glory, and because God told them to float. That's why. I can give you all the scientific explain, but you know, sometimes, because that's just the way God said it's supposed to be done. And it's an act of faith. So whatever it is in your life, in your marriage, or in your being a student, or being an employee, there's certain things that God says, that's just the way it's to be done. And it doesn't make any difference what the world says, and how crazy people act, and whether they want to go along with the rules, or think it makes any difference, they can do whatever they want to do. No, there's certain things I expect from you, because you see, when you are in your relationships, wherever you find them, you don't just represent yourself. If you name the name of Christ, you represent me. And there are certain things that you need to do that let people know that there's a reality in serving a true and a living God. If you're going to act like everybody else and think it doesn't make any difference, it does make a difference, because there's a thing that we have called a testimony. Now, there is something that is mentioned for the first time in this chapter. It says in the verse number 18, Here's what God says when he's having a conversation with Noah. He says, but I, with thee, will establish my covenant. I'm going to make an agreement with you. And because of this covenant, and if you're obedient to this covenant, because you believe in me and have an act of faith and doing what I told you to do, because what I'm telling you is not going to happen for a long time. You're going to build this boat, and nothing's going to happen until the boat gets built. Well, how long is that going to take? I guess it's going to take until it's done. See, you know, when you've never built something before, well, how long does it take to build an ark? I don't know. I've never built one. Well, how long does it take you when you built yours? I've never built one either. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. And, you know, and you start building it, and you got to get all the wood, and then you got to go to Lowe's and get it cut to the right, and then you got to go find if they got the stuff to seal it with, and they get you, well, it's back ordered. The pitch will be in next week. Because he said, now, you know, this thing's supposed to float, so you're going to have to seal all the joints on the inside and the outside so it's watertight. Now, you're in the desert building a boat, and people are going, Ham, Shem, Japheth, yeah? What's your dad doing? He's building an ark. How old is your dad? Is he having problems with his memory? Is he getting a little senile? Is dementia setting in? He said he's been talking to God. Right, been talking to God. Well, why is he building a boat? Because the world's going to be destroyed. What's wrong with the world? I don't see anything wrong with the world. Everybody's having a good time. We're doing what we want to do. We're going to eat, drink, be merry. That's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, it's a good times roll. I was just watching my commercial, Bud Light, and, you know, hey, it's Sunday. It's time to watch football. And let's have a good time. He's talking about living right and fearing God and the world's in terrible shape. Well, we're all right. We're all right. There's no need to be worried. Everything's good. Majority rule, except your dad. Strange guy. Very strange guy. Always telling people, you know, you need to get into the ark and be saved. And one man who was trying to save the whole world by doing something that could save everybody. One guy going against the grain, one guy doing something because God said. And in a way, he's a type of Christ, because one man who can save the world. One man who gave his life for saving the whole world. Now, Noah gave his life because he spent his life building his ark. Jesus Christ gave his life because he died on the cross to take care of a problem, which is why God destroyed the world in the first time. It's a thing called sin. Noah kept saying, this is a sinful world, repent and be saved, get into the ark of safety, come on and get in the boat and live. And people kept saying, you know, your dad is nuttier than a fruitcake. Because your father keeps saying, we walk by faith and not by sight. And what God has said, God will do. I believe God. I have the right perspective. I have the right persistence. I have the right idea about believing God. And I know he's going to do what he says he's going to do because I know who he is in my life. I would not be who I am if God had not chosen to favor me. I would not be able to do what I do if God had not chosen to favor me. I am blessed by God. And I know that. And because of that, it humbles me, and because I want to serve him each and every day, and I want to do what he tells me to do. And if he tells me to go out and work on the ark, by golly, I'm going out and work on the ark. The way you keep on keeping on is realizing where we stand with God. We are sinners that needed saving. We are now sinners who were ain't to become saints because of the transforming blood of Christ. He has brought us into a right relationship. He's brought us back to a right relationship with God, and we are covered under the blood. And because we are covered under the blood, our lives have been created anew, not to live the way we want, but to live for Christ, to live for God. So in the same way the message of Noah is, get into the ark of safety, the message for our world today is, come into the Savior and be saved. Be covered by the blood of Christ. Turn your life around, give your life to Christ. Say yes to God and no to sin. Become new creatures in Christ because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because I have to tell you this, but the Bible says the world is going to be destroyed again. Now, I don't know where you were Saturday when it rained, but actually, or was it Friday when it rained? No, it was Friday when it rained, because I stepped outside and they said, there's a rainbow! I said, there's a rainbow? Yeah. I said to someone, what is that? They said, well, you know, the scientific... I said, oh, give me a break. It's a bowl in the clouds. It's the promise of God that He will never destroy the world again by water.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you don't think about that every time you see a rainbow, then it's not going to be flood. It's going to be fire next time. But the point is, our message for our generation is the same for Noah. We live by faith. We walk by faith. And we tell people, the world is going to be destroyed. God is not happy. You need to repent and be saved and accept Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for reminding us. An act of faith is something we do every day. It may be a different act in a different area as You take us and move us through different phases and stages of our life, but it's all based on our relationship to You. It's all based on the fact that we love You and we believe You and we listen to You and we have the right perspective and we are willing to pay the cost because of the blessings. We have the right persistence and we have the right perception because we understand You to be who You are. We thank You for that in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.